Do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB. The
music. From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
He has arrived. Take him into your heart. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show. It's time for...
I'm sorry, I dozed off.
You forgot. Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Oh, yeah. That's the name of the show.
You forgot
your
line.
You took so long, I fell asleep. I didn't know what was going on. Hey,
Palmer.
Hey, you know what's good today? Trevor's awake. I see him. He's wide awake.
Hi,
in there.
Trevor.
Look at him.
And that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
My gosh, he gets awfully energetic. I'm tired. I'm an old man, and you get me all tired out with the screaming and yelling and everything else.
Well, it's time to scream.
Oh, wait a minute. Al's singing. Wait a minute. Al, here you go, Al.
Al, we love you. Really.
All right, that's enough of Al.
That's Al.
And I want you to know it's not me that's interrupting.
That's Al Barbarino, who's singing our opening song, and how we love it. I love that song. I sing it in my sleep at night.
This is the 207th time that Al has sung this song.
I know. I've heard it 207
times. Oh, wait, let's introduce our guest.
No. The guest has to wait.
Oh, my God.
They're in no rush.
This guy is...
There, now we stop.
Oh,
now
welcome.
Let's get some order here. We have a guest.
We have several guests.
Well, we have a guest who is a primary guest.
Yes.
Michael Zabrocki.
Thank you.
Hey, Michael, hey.
Thank you. You're very wise. Thank you.
And Michael is a friend of ours, and we've had you on before.
Oh, yeah. Several times.
Several times. Why did I do this again?
I was just going to ask the same question.
No, because he was so impressed with us last time he was here.
You know, pain fades, and then, you know, you forget, and then you end up coming back.
Well,
welcome, Michael. Welcome.
Let's tell
I'm
our
so happy to be here.
About Michael.
Yes.
That's all I know about him.
Well, you know a lot about him. He's a
Michael,
great guy.
Yes.
Introduce yourself to our guests.
I am
to our radio.
Brown hair going gray, 6 feet tall, blue eyes, devastatingly handsome. That's
and
according to my mother, but she's dead, so it doesn't matter. I'm a Catholic recording artist.
Yes.
And I do that type of stuff. I'm also a liturgical musician. I play in a parish in a very large faith community in Queens, at Holy Trinity in Whitestone.
Okay.
And when I'm not doing that, I'm also the director of lots of stuff going on for a good buddy of mine, John Michael Talbot. I handle his public relations and marketing.
Man,
he's the number one
Catholic
recording artist. Yeah.
And
so busy.
Besides, wait a minute. You're a twin. We
like
brothers,
you.
Baby. We brothers. You're like me, baby.
I'm a twin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you an identical twin?
We are. We are identical. It's like I'm the good twin. He's the evil twin.
Oh, yeah. See, me, it's reversed.
Oh, is that
right? My brother's the good. He got all the good quantity. Yeah. Palmer will tell you about.
Yeah, he got the best part of the egg.
Oh, did he?
He did.
He got everything that's left over.
Yeah. I got all the leftovers.
Well, Michael, we're so happy that you're with us, and we want our listeners to know that on January 16th at St. Aidan's at 7:30 at night, that's a Friday night, we're going to do what we call Come Adore. It's our takeoff on the Catholic Underground, which is run in the Diocese of New York, and we are allowed to say that. With the permission of the monks who tell us that we can say that.
That's sweet of them. Isn't that Benedict Rochelle's organization
yes.
that started that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And we're going to have an hour of adoration in the church. And what we do during that time is we darken the lights and we pray and we have some music and we have Deacon Jock who's going to talk about adoration a little bit.
Great talker.
And then he uses the Eucharist at the end, the blessing at the end, to answer all the requests, the prayer requests that people have when they come.
Now, what time is this?
That's 7:30 at night. And then right after that, we walk across the the driveway and go into Monsignor Kerwin Hall in the auditorium, and we have a concert. And this time around, we have Michael Zabrocki as our guest.
Wow.
And Michael, you know.
Michael, he, baby.
You should hear him, Michael. He's good.
He's good?
Yeah.
I never heard him.
Yeah. Well, you will today.
I will.
They will today.
So we want our listeners to set aside
now, I
January
want to know
16th.
Is this a fee to get in?
No. Or is it's this free.
Will, free?
Free and
it's
free
for me.
Will offering.
Free? I'll be there.
Free will offering. Bring your checkbook.
Oh, free will offering. Oh, but I'll
no,
be there.
No, it's free.
I'll be there.
We want as many young people. We're after the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, and the 40-year-olds.
That lets me
who
out.
Have the only, well, everybody can come, but who the only place they can meet people are in bars, and that doesn't work.
Oh, it does, but not, it
not,
doesn't turn out too well.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so I'm going to send out mass emails, Mike.
Now, why do we want to? Why do we want to reach the young people? Why?
Because they are really very interested in spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly are aware of that. And they say, we're spiritual, but I don't like religion. And we're saying, you can't be one without the other. It's like love and marriage.
Right. I set you up with that on purpose. I have a very strong feeling about how to, you know, why we have to reach these people. You know, people say you got to reach the teenagers. We got to reach the teenagers. And that's tough. You know, part of being a teenager is rebellion. You know, that's how you learn. That's how you grow up. And
absolutely.
What happens is that's when we, you know, when they're younger, they're involved, regardless of the faith, there's some form of a sacramental situation, whether it's a first Holy Communion or a confirmation. You know, the evangelicals like the Lutherans share that, and I have wonderful friends that are Lutherans and other flavors of Christianity. But as they get older, then they start having children, and they get settled in their jobs and things like that, and I think it's important to reach people that are in their 20s that are establishing their lives, their career goals and families. And because when you reach them, it will trickle down to their children and the rest of their families.
And we use adoration because it's our belief, and it's really not only our belief, but it's the truth of the matter. When Jesus is there, after you tell him your petitions, he'll touch you adoration. And he'll touch you quietly and gently, and he'll speak to your heart. He does that.
Mm.
And I've been doing that for 30-plus years, and so many others have been doing it. And when you are touched and you have that experience of his presence, like St. Teresa of Avila says, you can't explain it. You have to experience it. So that's what we're after.
I think that's important. You also, the like evangelical community, they may not know what adoration is. But if I'm sure there are some Christians listening that are not Catholics, and they may not be aware of it. But, you know, it's very easy to get excited and to do things that get people fired up. But there's not enough of that quiet time. And I think this is an opportunity
and
for so many.
You need to clear everything out of your heart
and
open the door for Jesus. But you know what? It's not that difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Not that difficult. All you have to do is to welcome him. And it could be at adoration. It could be walking to work. It could be anywhere. All you need to do is to say, welcome, Jesus.
Well, I have a very, very scholarly presentation as to what you have to do in order to hear God within you. You know what it is? It's two words. Shut up. You know?
Yeah, get rid of the noise.
That's right.
Get rid of the noise.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. If you are talking to me, how can you hear what I'm saying if I'm talking back? And it's the same with God.
Yeah, yeah. So, Michael, you're doing a lot of work, and you're doing a lot of work to bring people to Jesus. I know that, and that seems to be your life.
Yeah.
What are you doing now about bringing people to Jesus and bringing Jesus to the people?
Well,
it's a two-way street here.
Yeah, it is, but you know, as it doesn't matter. You know, I'm involved in Christian music. Okay, you know, we all have a calling. Apple trees make apples. That's what they're supposed
to
do.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have a calling.
You evangelize through music.
I evangelize through music. But, you know, getting back to what Dr. Palmer said about, well, shutting up. St. Francis, what was his famous quote? He said, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the fact that I might, you know, I'm a director of music in a church, for example. Or if I'm coming to your parish or somewhere and I'm doing a gig. What happens when I'm singing is not the most important part of that time. You know, showing somebody hospitality. You know, if somebody's trying to come into the church and they're holding a baby and they got all this stuff, and you run over and you help them, that speaks more than anything you could ever say. If you see somebody who's upset, you just sit down with them and ask them what's going on. Some people just need a place to talk to, somebody to hear their problems. And,
absolutely. You know, and you know, silence is multicultural.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. God speaks the language of love to your heart in that silence. And that's so important. And music is the door opener. I always believe that.
Yeah, it primes the pump.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, you know, I think it was, I forgot the, there was a great person who used to do, they'd come into a church and revival. He was a revival preacher. They'd come into a church and stay for weeks because the movement of the Spirit was so strong. And but you know what he said was, you know, when you're planting a seed, you got to break up the fallow ground. You know, that hardened ground has to be broken up. That's kind of what music does. We can't explain it, but it makes it the ground is kind of fertile for a seed to be planted through music.
Yeah. And you have to plant it on the right ground.
That's right. That's right.
And it'll take.
You know, as we were talking before the program, we said that we begin with a song for the two police officers who were so tragically shot down over this past week. In fact, I know, Michael, you said on your way over here today, you had to leave early because of the cars.
Right. I live in Middle Village.
Oh, do
in,
you?
I live in Middle Village in Queens.
Oh, I'm right there.
There you go. And
my business is there.
Is it? Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
We'll meet at your
Avenue. Come over and see me.
I know where that is. In Maspeth. You're in Maspeth, right?
Yeah.
And thousands upon thousands are coming in to show respect and support for the family and for the NYPD. And I just got out of Dodge pretty quick because I wouldn't have made it here on time
really?
For 10.
Yeah.
There were helicopters. And I know the vice president was coming in and
wow.
Joe Biden was coming in and, of course, de Blasio and so on. They were all showing respect. So when that happens, it's a takeover, you know.
Yeah,
so
they would. Sure.
I'm sure there'll be maybe 5,000 to 10,000 people in the area today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is a song you wrote. And it's called For This Moment?
Yeah. You know, some people, what happened to those officers was certainly horrific, tragic. But God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes people want to, they're trying to find why would this happen. But I'm seeing things where, you know, in the past I saw people saying things like, kill a cop.
Yeah.
And now people in those same neighborhoods are going, this shouldn't have happened.
No, it shouldn't.
And there's a different focus right now. So even though something tragic happened, God is using it to bring healing.
But I think the madness has to stop.
Right.
I think somehow or other the madness must stop.
It will.
And the only way it's going to stop is with Jesus. You know that.
Yes.
It's something. The focus has to be changed.
Absolutely. So.
You want to do the song?
Yeah, I'm going to do it live, okay? I have a guitar here. I'm going to take off my headset for a minute so I can
sure.
see. I don't want to hear myself.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
do you
live.
See how jealous he made me? He took his headset off and his hair just flowed. I take my headset off and I scratch it.
Wood. That happens to you.
We're in tune. Can we hear that guitar? Is it working?
Yeah, it's working
fine.
Good, man.
We'll do a verse or two. There are times and there are seasons for every moment of your days. Time to learn and grow. Time to laugh and play. But there are also times of sadness which you cannot comprehend. Know that I am God. And I understand. I've told you, blessed are those who mourn. Your comfort can be found, knowing that they are home. It was for this moment they were born. It was for this moment that I sent my only son. You may think they have fallen,
but their freedom has been won. They are with me now. I am with you now, this moment. And I hear your cries and questions. Why do the nations rage? Do you believe that hatred can stop my people's praise? Sure as fall will turn to winter, and winter turn to spring. With each passing season, you'll feel my love again. In the children, in the flowers, in the gentle blowing wind. I've told you, blessed are those who mourn. Your comfort can be found, knowing that they are home. It was for this moment they were born. It was for this moment that I sent my only son. You may think they have fallen, but their freedom has been won. They are with me now. I am with you now. This moment.
Michael, I want you to do that last chorus, and now I want to do it for those black men who were unfortunately killed by the police in the various problems that occurred, because those words bring peace. Your words are beautiful. Maybe you can do the whole song again. Just now, let's incorporate the whole picture. Not just the two police.
Yeah.
But the, all those.
They're part of our family. That's right.
Yes,
what happened to them and their families is
it's terrible. And the grief that they're feeling in their families.
Right.
So it's not just the police. It's everybody who has been hurt by these episodes over these many months. And how terrible it has been. Would you sing that song now for everybody? Those men who were also killed by the police.
It's an honor, absolutely.
Please.
Thank you for that focus. That's,
it's got to be.
Perfect.
It's the whole picture.
Right.
Go ahead. We offer this for the family of those two men who were celebrities, unfortunately, by their deaths.
And God's going to use that also to bring
yes.
healing.
And I hear your cries and questions. Why do the nations rage? Do you believe that hatred can stop my people's praise? Sure as fall will turn to winter, and winter turn to spring. With each passing season, you'll feel my love again. In the children, in the flowers, in the gentle blowing wind. I've told you, blessed are those who mourn. Your comfort can be found, knowing that they are home. It was for this moment they were born. It was for this moment that I sent my only son. You may think they have fallen, but their freedom has been won. They are with me now. I am with you now. It was for this moment they were born. It was for this moment that I sent my only son. You may think they have fallen, but their freedom has been won. They are with me now. I am with you now, this moment.
That's beautiful, and I hope God's peace rides on those words.
You hit a magic word in that song, Michael. Hatred.
Yeah.
And that's what's keeping the thing rolling, is this hatred.
I didn't write that line, by the way. You know where that line is from? There's nothing new under the sun, is there? That's from Psalm 2.
Yeah.
Why do the nations rage? Right. How's that? And I hear you cry.
That is the key word, the hatred.
And I love
must stop. The hatred must stop.
But I love the words, no matter what. Their freedom has been won.
Yeah.
Well, and they're home. Everybody's home. You know, it's hard to look at it that way. I've lost two wives and I've lost a son.
Right.
And I know that those words ring true in everybody's heart. Nobody wants to see anybody, any life snuffed out one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we just offer God's peace and love to those families who have been hit with such pain, just terrible.
Right. They're snuffed out for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's not just snuffed.
Yeah. We people, that's, you know, goes back so many years, but people judge people just by the way they look.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely crazy. I mean, people judge me because of my hair.
I'm judging you. I love your hair.
Well, you're jealous.
Palmer's
but
jealous.
I hate your hair.
You know, color of the skin, nationality, whatever. You know, I'm Polish. You know, you want to hear a Polish joke? You know, I could, but I won't. but there's, you know, we just all judge each other on so many crazy things instead of just loving each other unconditionally. And
you want to hear a Polish joke? You have to ask.
I am a Polish joke.
Oh, okay. Then yeah. I
will. No, you could. Yes, I would.
Now my wife is also Polish.
I'm sorry. Oh yeah, my number one fan here. My number one fan here is Polish,
well.
Too.
Yeah, the president of your fan club.
Yeah, but the president of my fan club showed up today.
Yeah,
isn't that
now
sweet?
Why don't we introduce her? We didn't even introduce her.
Yeah, yeah,
what's
Annie?
Hold the mic over.
Annie, welcome.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have you, really. We never really meet the presidents of the fan clubs.
Yes, I'm
the
biggest fan.
I pay her well.
We haven't heard from our president in a while.
No, we have. I
you know what happened? No, she said there are no more fans.
That's tough.
Oh, no.
The club has been dissipated.
They're not fans. They're now super fans. They've moved up a level.
No, we grow every week. We have at least 14, 15.
100.
Maybe we're pushing 20. No, 20 people.
20 people.
20 listeners, yeah.
Annie,
I listen.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with Michael?
Why do you ask a question like that?
Michael and I know each other since we were very young. We went to grammar school together. I'm a little bit older than him, but we were involved in church ministry since we were young. We used to actually
folk groups
decorate the church.
Decorate.
Right?
Really? Deck for Christmas. Tell them, deck for Christmas.
Are you a singer as well?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Many years ago. I don't really sing anymore, but
she's
did
very active.
Godspell.
She's very spiritual.
Yes.
I know Annie.
Thank you. We did Godspell for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And off Broadway.
off Broadway.
Way off Broadway.
So off.
So off. It was off.
But yeah, we've known each other many, many years. I was giving Tony his backgrounds on the way out.
Yes.
In the car, that a lot of things that Tony didn't know.
And no, a lot
many
of things. I know. Michael, yeah. I know so much about you. I might even be able to blackmail you. I'm not sure.
You're not alone. I just visit my Facebook page.
Yeah, okay.
I shoot myself in the foot on a daily basis.
Michael, tell us a little bit about what you do with John Michael Talbot.
John Michael Talbot. You know, John Michael is an interesting guy. He certainly has been used by God for many, many years.
Yes.
He's had a lot to do with the salvation of millions of people because of his music, primarily. I handle John Michael's marketing and his public relations, and that sounds bad. You know, you don't want to say it like that because it is ministry. but you still have to get the word out. So I'm more like John the Baptist, but, you know, he's not Jesus, but you get the role. You know,
right.
I point people his way and drive things his way. And I, of course, handle a lot of his social media and his websites, his mark, you know, his communications with fans and things like that. We keep him on the road. The guy's, I don't think he has blood. I think he has gasoline. he does about 150 dates a year. He's on the road about 9 months out of the year when he's not at home in Arkansas at the Hermitage there. You could learn about him by visiting www.johnmichaeltalbot.com, or you could visit his Facebook page, also John Michael Talbot. If you're on Facebook, you should look him up. He talks to all of his, you know, anybody writes to him, he'll respond himself. But he is he's a busy man. And recently, you know, when I write the book about John Michael Talbot, one day when I finally crack, the last chapter is going to say, and then he said television. Oh, man, my life has gotten very strange because he's now on TV weekly. He's on Trinity Broadcasting, TBN. And that's the third largest network in the world. The first one is Fox, you know. And then you have there's some station that comes out of Japan, I believe, in the world. But John Michael's, you know, the TBN, he's on the Church Channel. That's part of the TBN family.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes out to, I think, about 500 million people throughout the world. This is not kid stuff. This is the real deal. And, you know, he was always a great author. He has, I think, he has a new book coming out in January, The Ancient Path. We kind of, you know, you talk about the church fathers and how we could learn from our church fathers. And he's tying a little bit of that in with his TV show. The name of the TV show is called All Things Are Possible with God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on. You could look that up also by visiting johnmichaeltalbot.com, and you'll see where it airs in your area.
I was watching his mission mm-hmm. on a DVD.
Yes.
And there's a line in there that just really has stuck so powerfully with me. You know, he said, the words of Scripture are not just words. If God was only words, we would be philosophers and theologians. But God is an experience.
It's living. The Word of God is living and active. It's
and
a two-edged sword.
It's so powerful, and that just sticks with me mm-hmm. everywhere I go.
Well, I think the Scripture really is a guide for life.
Yeah.
It tells us how to lead our lives. And that's the beauty of the readings of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's readings is going to be about children and the fathers. And I love that reading.
Right.
So,
and, you know, we have a friend of ours who writes meditations, if you want.
He writes reflections.
On Scripture. And he gives it to us each week to read.
Yes.
So I'm going to read it without music in the background.
Good.
Because it only interferes.
By the way, Palmer reads it because I'm from Brooklyn. I have a Brooklyn accent. So it's better he reads. He does a much better job than I do.
He could read?
He knows.
He does.
Yeah, he knows. He knows. Wait till you listen.
Okay.
Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. That's from Isaiah chapter 60. Verses 1 to 6. When the prophet Isaiah speaks about the city of Jerusalem at the time of the expected Messiah's arrival is fulfilled with the coming of Christ. But now, Christ's people, his body, the church, is a new Jerusalem. And it's true, isn't it? When the people of God live according to the love, mercy, and goodness of God, it is indeed very attractive to others. People do recognize authentic love and kindness when they see it. People are inspired by holiness. Yes, we listeners and all of us around the table need to raise our eyes. That is, we need to admit that the presence of God within his church, within us, is or should be our greatest joy and our greatest hope. We should never settle for mediocrity. We should never become cynical. We We should never judge others. Instead, we must persevere in pursuing holiness. We must love even when it hurts to love. We must forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. That's the way of the one the 3 kings came to adore and prostrate themselves before. This way must become our way of living, so all people may gather around the Lord and all the nation come to adore him. It just fits That's in with your song and with your dedication to all these people who have suffered losses in such a public way, in a horrific way, over these many months.
Absolutely.
You think this guy knew that we were going to use this as the theme in today's show? What do you think?
No, he didn't know we were going to use it as any theme of any show. He just writes it, sends it to us, and says to me, don't tell them who I am.
You know, Michael, maybe this is a good time for you to do the second song.
Yeah. There's no such thing as coincidence, is there?
No, and I'll tell you, there's another...
It just fits.
There's another issue in here that I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Okay, so do your song, and then we'll talk about the other issue.
Sure.
And what is this song now?
Well, it's not one I wrote, but I think it's important that, we're talking about several topics today, and since we're going to be getting together for adoration... On January 16th at St. Aidan's.
Oh, nice of you to mention that.
Yes.
Did I mention that?
Yes.
January 16th at St. Aidan's.
At 7:30?
7:30, yes.
But I wanted to do a song that is one of the more beautiful adoration songs. It's you could call it a communion song, but it really is. It's called Breathe. I did not write it. I wish I wrote it, but I didn't. But I think it's something that an evangelical listener and a Catholic listener would appreciate deeply. So
okay,
and maybe it'll enter the hearts of those who are grieving.
That's right.
I know we're keeping this as a theme, but it's such an important theme. We need the peace.
You know, it's there's two things. You know, I remember when 9/11 happened. I'd look in one direction, and there was this. My house was about 10 miles away. You know, and I should have been there that day. And that's a whole other story. But you look one direction, the sky is black with smoke. And you look the other way, it was a day just like today with this beautiful blue sky.
I remember it well.
And so, you know, well, these things all exist all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and while we have tragedy and a terrible, we're saying goodbye to some fallen people here, and violence, and the focus of the nation is brought, you know, to us locally, the love of God is still... there at the same time.
It's the only way to bring the peace
right
to everyone.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
Beautiful.
Isn't it?
Absolutely gorgeous.
And really, that's what we're all talking about today. Yes. I'm sorry, but I think we're desperate for God to intervene in the pain that's in our country.
Ever
right
so
now.
Much, Palmer. Ever so much.
And you know, that's okay. What Christmas is about, mm-hmm. When people come to adore God.
Yes.
Which is, you're going to talk about the Magi.
Yeah, and
the
believe
Magi.
It or not, and this, I just noticed as you were reading the reflection, that I actually chose the wise men to talk mm-hmm. about them briefly.
Mm-hmm.
But also, our writer of the spiritual reflection mentions the wise men, if you notice,
yep.
At the end, which I had no idea about. So
see how prepared we are.
So who? So
it's a God
I mean,
thing.
So nothing is by chance. I mean,
right.
This is the Holy Spirit that guides the yes. show. But the people remember the visit of the wise men to baby Jesus, actually on the feast of the Epiphany, which is very big, in, especially in the Eastern Rite, and which is on January the 6th. But I was taken to talk about it today to bring it all together for the birth of our Lord and Savior. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, at the time that Herod was king, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who is born to the King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." This is how the Bible story of the wise men begins. It's easy to see why King Herod immediately became both worried and angry. If this newborn baby was to be the King of the Jews, where did that leave him? He asked his own priest to explain what these strangers meant. The priest told him that in ancient times it had been written that a new king would be born in Bethlehem. This wasn't what Herod wanted to hear. No, 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 not by any means. So he sent the wise men to Bethlehem to look for the newborn child. "When you find him, bring me the word. Then I'll go and worship him too, like heck he would." Not that he had any intentions of doing that, but at least he would know where his new rival was. So the wise men from the east left Jerusalem, still led by the same star that guided them to Judah. When they reached the little town of Bethlehem, the star led them to Jesus. He was laying in a manger and being lovingly nursed by his mother, Mary. They unwrapped the presents they had brought the newborn child, consisting of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having knelt before and worshiped Jesus, they left Judah to return to their own country. Without going back to Herod, they took a different route and completely avoided him. An angel had warned them in a dream that he meant no good to the newborn baby. That's all the Bible says about the wise men. We don't even know how many of them there were. We just guessed that there were three because they brought three presents. Very special presents. Gold was a sign that Jesus was a king. Frankincense is the kind of sweet-smelling gum when it's burnt. It's a sign of holiness. So the gift of frankincense was a sign that people would one day worship Jesus and myrrh. Well, that was a grim warning of death. For myrrh was an oil used in those days to anoint the dead bodies as a king of blessing. When mixed with wine, it also formed a pain-killing drug and was sometimes given to those being crucified. The gift of myrrh was a sign that Jesus would suffer a terrible death. A few hundred years later, Christians began to describe the wise men as kings. They certainly must have been rich and important people. And one of the Psalms, the holy songs in the Bible, says, "The kings shall offer gifts, the kings of Sheba," or he would now say Arabia and Saba. "And he shall bring all gifts, all kings shall bow down before him." So the wise men became known as kings, three kings from the East or Orient. He also became known as the Magi, and is plural for the word magus, which means a wise man or a person who is thought to see signs and meanings in the stars, which they did. The wise men are known as Magi because they saw the unusual star in the sky, which led them to Bethlehem and to worship our newborn king. There have been many attempts to explain what the star was. Some say it was a comet coming through the sky. Others say it was the light that caused the two stars or planets appearing to come close to each other. But the fact, nowhere does the Bible say it was the bright star. What is important about the story is that the wise men came to worship the newborn Jesus. By their journey in worship and by the gifts they brought, they showed that the birth, life, and death of Jesus would be important for all people in all times, whoever their race and wherever they lived. And the wise men knew that the time will come. So that's the brief story of the three wise men. And so reflected in this spiritual reflection, I'm so happy that I decided to use it. And I had no idea until you read it today.
Good.
So that sort of brings, that frames the Christmas season. That's why I wanted to use the three wise men now.
I got a question for you, for Michael, and for Annie. What's Christmas to you? What's Christmas to you? What
well,
does
Annie?
It mean? Yeah, we just went through a season
where we all
spent money that we don't have, and we maybe will pay it off in time for Valentine's Day. But, you know, what's Christmas? And listeners, what's Christmas really mean to you?
Yes,
go ahead, Annie.
Christmas is not about presents and gifts, and well, large gifts anymore. A few years ago, I started to tone down everything, financially as well as just because I wanted to. And I always like to have the best present for the person. I get a real thrill out of buying something for somebody. It's not always about me, it's always about what I can get for somebody, and especially for the children.
Oh, very
that's
nice.
That's the whole thing. And there are a lot of years that I've spent by myself, just home if my son's not with me, because my son lives away. That's what I do.
Yeah. Whenever Annie speaks, music starts.
Yeah. that's because Palmer is playing around with his little toys.
Not usually that kind of music, though.
That's a great answer.
But it really is a good answer.
Yeah.
It's not the presence.
Yeah.
It's the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
Yeah. Yeah. But
his presence.
That's a good question, by the way. May I answer it?
Yes. No.
In my way?
Yes. Of course. Go ahead.
Who could stop you?
I just happened to be reflecting the other day about Christmas. And then the thought came on to me. Christmas is the birth of our Savior. It's the birth of our King. It's the birth of our Lover. It's the birth of our Jesus. But beyond that, isn't it so amazing that half the world, or three-quarter of the world, comes to a stop on Christmas Day. People stop to worship and to welcome Jesus into this world. And it's so amazing that no matter where you go and what you do, years ago all the stores were closed, now they're not. Mm. But it's so amazing that Jesus is on the minds of so many, and that's why it's often said, keep Christ in Christmas. And that's what Christmas is all about to me.
Michael, how about you? This is you put know, up or shut up.
Time. All right.
Yeah, so
nobody has to tell
wise
me.
Wise guy, this guy.
I could do 2 hours if you want. You know, it's funny. There's certain things that happen in life, okay, that are, for lack of a better word, anointed, okay? And, you know, I was talking once to somebody about people that church hop. And they go, like, I want to find the perfect church, you know? And then the joke is, of course, well, the day you join that church, it's not going to be perfect anymore. Right? but we're all born into something. It's you know, we are here because of our parents and what they were and so on. And what I find beautiful about life is besides the gift of Christmas being the birth of Christ, it's there's also a like this gift from God that we were born into this faith, and it's part of our traveling around the sun. It's a special time that God gave us this gift, not only as the birth of Christ, but it's a real living thing that as families, it's needed almost, and it's something that where memories are created and cherished. And you know, even though there's a commercial side of all of it, there is this very human element too, where Christ came as a human being, and we as humans can relive that and experience it and share it together 2,000 years later. And even if you're not focusing on that, even if the media wants to say, make up stories like there's a war on Christmas and, you know, don't say Merry Christmas, say Happy Holidays. I've never experienced somebody say, I've never said to them Merry Christmas and they yell at me and say Happy Holidays, you know. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. It's just the media wants you to believe things. But as families, as people, we share this. And even if the focus, like you say, isn't 100%, if the media and the world is trying to make you shop on Christmas and do things, Christmas still happens, and we all come together and create more memories and more memories, and it just builds up to this hopefully a beautiful moment for families, and then the focus happens. So God uses it to bring us together, and, you know, I play church. Midnight Mass is always packed. Yes. So even if people aren't in church every Sunday, they still come together for that one moment. And hopefully God uses that moment to bring them
to
in.
Continue. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I think about when I think of Christmas? And I was really alone and meditating a lot over this holiday season. And that, you know, what happens on Christmas for every person is that God, who is timeless love, touches us. And he comes into our hearts in a very special way if we allow him in. Mm. And if we give them some time to come in. And, you know, and I meditate a lot, and I was thinking, you know, when I was born, I have no idea what's coming next in my life. If I had, I might have climbed back into the womb, you know? But, and I almost like I heard Jesus saying, when I was born, I knew what I had to do, and I knew what was coming my way. And I still chose to leave my comfortable spot in heaven, in my throne, to come down, to teach you guys I'm real, I'm alive, and I want to touch you. And so I'm going to come into your world. And yeah, people are going to say, who do you think you are? You forgive sins and you make miracles. Who do you think you are? Come down off that cross if you think you're God. You know, I knew all that was coming. but I still came anyway. Mm. And it came just for you, Michael. And it came just for you, Annie. Just for you, Tony. And just for Trevor. And for you, John. You know, it came for all of us. And all we have to do is not run to Walmart and buy gifts, but just sit down somewhere and say, Happy birthday, Jesus, and let him bring his gifts alive in us. And he did it, you know, and I had a wonderful, peaceful Christmas with my daughter and my grandson and my son and his friend. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice. And I bet if we went around, all of you had a special moment where you felt touched by God during Christmas.
Christmas has a way of bringing families back together and to make the family touch.
I went to Franklin General last Sunday. It was my, mm-hmm. my turn.
Yes.
And I went into a room and, you know, I get a list of all the Catholic parishioners. And I said to the man, you know, I'm a Eucharist minister. Would you like to receive communion? And he said, oh, I haven't been back to the church in a long time. And I said, well, welcome home. Mm. And he received communion, and he said, when I go home, I'm going home today, and when I go home, I'm going to take my family to church.
Very good.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Like, that's like a Christmas miracle.
So you never know how you touch people's hearts.
No. Oh.
And what you do and how you do it touches them.
And this has been kind of a painful Christmas for everybody when you look around and see what's happening in the external world.
Yes.
And we pray for healing in every program. And maybe we can just stop for a few moments.
Absolutely.
And join hands and pray for everyone who is listening to our words and to our program today. And Jesus, we ask you, enter into the heart of every listener. Give them a Christmas moment now. Touch them with your peace, especially all those families, the two men who were killed by police and the two police who were killed by men. Touch their hearts. Just touch their hearts and bring your peace to them this Christmas, like in Michael's song. Just come into their hearts. Come into the hearts of all those people who are outraged on both sides of the coin, and bring peace to them. Bring your Christmas love into their hearts, Lord. And we pray for our listeners, Lord. So many of them are in pain. They send us their petitions every week. And we ask you, touch them, Lord. Let them know that you're real, you're alive, and you are Christ the King. Tony, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes, Jesus. Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thank you. Thank you for bringing us Michael, and thank you for bringing us Annie. Thank you for allowing us to do this radio show, our 208th time. Jesus, we love you. We give our everything to you. We want to be your servant. We want to be your slave. And you want to be our servant, and you want to be our slave. And so we just thank you. Thank you for coming from heaven to be with us and to show us your love.
Michael, do you have a prayer you'd like to offer for healing? And Andy, we're going to ask you too.
There's so many people I see on Facebook that have so many needs.
What is your Facebook number?
It's just my name, Michael Zabrocki.
Okay.
Or Zabrocki Music. But you know, Facebook community is very impersonal at times, but times it's very personal, and people share so many hurts. So I do share. I lift up as one gentleman especially. His name is Jimmy. I won't give any other information about that. And he's been fighting a very, very aggressive form of cancer. And so I'd like to lift him up today.
Absolutely.
And that would be my focus.
I'd just like to pray for everyone who's alone, everyone who's unemployed, and anyone who needs our prayers that we've promised to pray for.
Absolutely. And by the way, I want to lift up our petitions. In this bag are all our petitions from our radio show.
Oh, okay.
So we want to lift them up to Jesus and ask Jesus to please, please take care of the needy in this bag. Take care of the lonely. Take care of the homeless. Take care of the poor. Take care of the sick. Thank you, Jesus.
And we have a concluding song, believe it or not, that we've asked Michael to play for us.
Well, Trevor, actually.
Trevor?
Trevor.
Our extensive research team has gotten together.
Oh, and we might as well include Trevor in our Christmas prayers.
Absolutely.
This poor man has been with us for almost 4 years.
Right.
And he had to listen to us and
purgatory
all of our dribble and stuff all these years.
Put up with all our nonsense.
Oh,
thank you,
gosh.
Trevor.
Amen.
Thank
You're
you.
A gift to us, Trevor.
He's devastatingly handsome, ladies.
What's the last song, Michael?
Track number 7. It's called. This one's going out for Tony because he's been saying "Take Him to Heart" about 20 times today. Shameless self promotion. So, Take Him to Heart.
Okay, thank you.
And you could yell over this like you do to Al Barberino.
We're equal opportunity rude.
Oh, I don't mind. I'll do it. Ah!
Talking about a savior and how your time is fast drawing near. Well, you know that he believes in you. There's one thing left for you to do. Take him to heart, don't take him on your feelings.
Take him to heart
right now. Take him to heart, trust.
Michael and Annie, we're so happy that you were with us today. You
Thank
made
you.
The day very special.
Thank you.
Don't forget January 16th at St. Aidan's at 7:30 at night.
What was that date again?
January 16th. It's a Friday night at St. Aidan's, 7:30.
Where is it going to be, in the church?
In the church for the adoration and in Monsignor Kerwin Hall for the concert.
Okay.
By this quiet, unassuming, gentle Michael.
Yes, thank you.
By Michael the twin.
Yes. The good twin.
The good twin.
The good twin.
Ronnie, the evil twin.
Yes. Bring the children, your pets.
This is when I will be there.
You'll be there? All right.
And I will go and send emails out and bring. I will bring listeners here.
We want
I
listeners.
Promise. I will bring listeners.
And this Take It to Heart is the whole theme of this show.
Is it?
If you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody, take Jesus to heart. It's Christmas. Take him to heart.
We all got the memo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to stop singing in a minute. Big fade out happened. That's my brother on guitar, by the way.
Is that your brother?
It's your brother on guitar.
Yeah, he's pretty good, but don't let him know I said that.
You know what? I admit, my brother's better looking than me. He's smarter.
Oh, no,
than
I'm
me.
Better looking than my brother.
Give us your email once more.
You could visit me on zabrockimusic.com. That's ZABROCKIMusic.com. And that you could find from there, my Facebook page. Just look up Michael Zabrocki, and I'm all over the internet.
It's oh, okay.
And wherever
great.
Records are sold.
All right.
So all right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Manny.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, Michael. Michael,
thank
it's
you.
Always a joy and a pleasure to have you.
Absolutely. Thank
Please
you, Tony.
Please promise us you'll come back.
I promise I'll come back.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And you too, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Okay.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station.